You are listening to a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.
Gay Sweatshop was a lesbian and gay theatre group that in the 1970s toured the UK and Ireland with its overtly lesbian and gay dramas. I was lucky enough to see a performance of their early plays, Any Woman Can and Mr. X, when the group visited Dublin's Project Theatre in 1976. Apart from the experience of seeing the plays, which was quite wonderful, a mixture of cringing and being very exhilarated, the visit caused a phenomenal media stir. For good or ill, the words lesbian and gay came into the vocabulary of Dublin and Irish society. Despite some cultural differences between Ireland and England in relation to explicit talk about sexual matters of any sort, the ghetto-breaking impact of the visit was indisputable. We literally went from an environment where lesbians might be confused with those people that were on Wicker's World a few weeks back, to a very public awareness that they, lesbians, do what women do with men, only they do it with women. And that, for many, was a shockingly interesting thought. To us, Nancy Duguid, Julie Parker, Kate Crutchley, Helen and Jill Posner were great celebrities who stood up in public and dramatised the unsayable. But that was dozy old Dublin, where censorship laws filtered out all manner of things that the Catholic Church disliked. What of the importance of Gay Sweatshop in the UK, I wondered? To find out, I went to talk with a former member of Gay Sweatshop. These days, Julie Parker runs the Drill Hall Theatre in Camden's Cheney Street. She's seen a huge change in the way that young people view their sexuality compared with how it was in the 1970s.
There is a generation around where, for many of them, sexuality is something that is fluid, that they are very comfortable around.
I asked her about the importance of what Gay Sweatshop did in the 1970s.
Gay Sweatshop was how important?
Oh, hugely important. It was the first company of its kind.
Gay Sweatshop was a theatre of professional actors.
I mean, we came together as actors. It was set up by Drew Griffith with Kate Crutchley, who set the women's company up. When I joined, they'd done various projects, but we came to it. It was the first all-lesbian company and the gay men's company, but we were all trained actors. We came from that position of theatre. We learnt the politics on the road.
And before there could be out theatre, there had to be out lesbian actors.
I'd been off to drama school to sort of tread a traditional career path and, you know, become star of stage, screen and television. and of course, somewhere in the back of my mind, I knew that there was this thing going on that I wasn't acknowledging to myself, that I quite liked girls and women in a way that I didn't like boys. Loved boys, but not in that sort of way. Anyway, I hit drama school and I met an extraordinary woman who was in the year above me, American, called Nancy Duguid, who was a very, very out lesbian, even in those days, in 1973. And Nancy just knew, took one look at me and knew, which was terrifying. We became very good friends over the years and all kinds of things happened. And I was introduced to alternative theatre. I was taken to see a show called Any Woman Can, which was the very first lesbian play of contemporary times that Jill Posner had written. And out of that, Gay Sweatshop was born. And about 12 months later, I joined Gay Sweatshop with Nancy, and we were there and we toured and did all kinds of wonderful things. Because we'd do the shows and then there'd be an audience discussion afterwards when it would all get quite heated, and sometimes you'd have people in there from the local church shouting at you or threatening you or doing what. I remember sitting there, and this is what I mean by learning the politics, and Nancy, who was very, very able, had learned the politics well before we had, and she was kind of the leader in that way and was leading the discussion, and she was talking about consciousness raising sessions, and I can remember now this poor man, who's probably one of the two men in the audience, stuck his little hand up at the back. He said, "Excuse me, what's a consciousness raising session?" And Nancy just looked at him, and you could see her miss a bit, and she went talking to one another, and it was about the politics and the language. It was an extraordinary thing, because we went all over the country. We would go to places and women would come up to us in tears, because it was the first time they felt able to go and talk to anybody who was a lesbian. The show was a good show, it was a great show, and actually again was about how their lives were.
The play Any Woman Can was written by a West End scriptwriter before Gay Sweatshop was established.
It was beautifully written. I mean, what Jill did, Posner, who wrote it, I mean, she actually, and she will tell you this, she'd been working on Kennedy's Children in the West End, which was sort of a stylistically was about people standing up and delivering monologues. And she wrote in that style with Any Woman Can, so that the and again used her experience at school and then her experiences coming out and living in squats and how she had met various people and sort of older married women who wanted to have affairs with young lesbians. It was a fascinating piece of writing.
And it transpires that whatever about London, the rest of England, Scotland and Wales was no less challenged by what the Lesbian and Gay Theatre Company was saying than was Dublin and Ireland.
You know, we would be front page news on every local paper. You didn't know if you were going to have things thrown at you or if you were going to be greeted with open arms. I mean, it was equal. They would come and they'd be picketing outside theatres and things.
And what was people's image of lesbian before that?
Oh, we were, you know, two-headed monsters. Absolutely, we're going to, you know, steal the girl babies. I think without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, it was the first time in many ways that theatrically, killing a Sister George, that we had come out of the shadows and said, look, we are here. We look just like you do once.
Looking back now, Julie recalls that the passions that drove Gay Sweatshop in its early days had to be tempered by the practicalities.
And we went on these crazy tours where we'd be in Aberdeen one day and you know, Birmingham the next. That's why I booked the tour the following year, so we didn't do those mad dashes down motorways with Jill and Nancy driving, because they were the only drivers in coal vans and sleeping on people's floors and all those things.
The women and men of Gay Sweatshop were not just brave on stage, they also faced real physical challenges.
I mean, I think we were deeply foolish for a lot of us, some of the things we did. I mean, because it was dangerous. It was quite dangerous on one level.
And was it all worthwhile?
You just knew it was the kind of theatre that you wanted to do and would carry on doing, because it made sense. Who could have imagined 30 years ago that we would be taking shows into school about homophobia and bullying? Yeah, it's still going on. But the idea that we take theatre shows into school, you wouldn't have believed. And I think that's extraordinary. And I think that's wonderful.
And so was Gay Sweatshop, especially the lesbians. And sadly, two of the people that we mentioned in this programme have died since. The great activist Nancy Duguid died in the 1990s. And Drew Griffiths was murdered in the 1980s. And I'm very grateful to Julie Parker for taking the time out to talk to me for this programme. Thanks, Julie.
You are listening to a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.